Hey, hello, howdy, hiya, how's it going? How was that thing you were doing the thing last week? That's good? Cool. Well done. I'm super proud of you. Hey, it's John, the player of Jefferson Knight, your favourite hunter. I'm doing the introduction this week because Tom is not responding to my messages, which means he might be having a baby or he might be ignoring me. Either's cool. I'd probably prefer the baby one because the second one breaks my heart a little bit, but what are you going to do? Thanks for coming back, for tuning in to listen to us. We really do appreciate everyone listening. We love it. We love the feedback we're getting. We would absolutely love it if you are enjoying the show, if you could leave us a review, leave us a rating, and share it with your friends, your family, your pets, your colleagues. But yeah, so thanks for coming back. This episode sees us leaving the Revisys R&D facility, and there's a pretty cool chat going on at the beginning. I don't really remember what Tom says at the beginning of these, so I guess that'll do. If you've got any thoughts, feedback, you can email us. You can find us on all the social medias and whatnot. Yeah, I guess that's about it. I'm going to go back to watching Farscape. I'll see you later.
Last time on Esposito.
You roll the body over and you see quite a familiar face. Gaunt and emaciated and clearly dead for quite a while, you see the face of Venin Page. The video appears quite seamlessly on the computer monitor. My name is Venin Eluid Page, CEO of Revisys Systems. Proud father, husband, and the Venin that the galaxy knows is not real. I didn't mean for any of this. I first met Zamir when the Luendi and the Kesh were in the process of peace talks. I never suspected his involvement with the Fist of Goral. Their devotion is beyond comprehension. He got what he wanted out of all of this. The artifact he stole from the Infinity Corps using our connections. He said they've managed to replicate the technology in it already. Huge amounts of power focused into weaponry, mechs, ships, you name it. The Shatter Tower is formidable without upgrades. If Zamir manages to integrate the tower with the new technologies of the artifact, it would be nigh on unstoppable. Leaning up against the wall is an aged, grey Valner. There is a large gash in his side, and there are various entrails hanging loosely down out of his body. And
I cut his head off.
No!
I cut his head off and I say it to Mercy.
Jefferson just walks out. Yeah, I press the button so the hood comes back up, and I keep walking towards the airlock.
Red, dusty rock in these cliffs all in front of you, and the blackness of space just above your head. Against this background, you see a tall, silhouetted figure. As she turns around, you notice Orvelus. And you notice she's surrounded by a large, blue, glowing dome. It's about 30 feet across, and it encompasses the whole of the entrance to the base, and it seems to be providing her a breathable atmosphere. She looks up at you and smiles and says, "Ah, there you are. Zamir said you were still around."
I walk out and stand next to her. Where is Zamir?
Zamir's long gone. Although, he did say that he enjoyed chatting with you.
Mm-hmm. So, I have a question about all of this. Can you transfer his consciousness from body to body, or is he currently stuck in Paolo Maffi until you have another body to put him in?
Paolo Maffi has been dead for days.
Yeah, I know that. But does he look like... No, okay. So he is... Alright. So we just used the name. That's what was going on there, right?
Quite. You really shouldn't take things at such face value. Hermes was here the whole time, and as I understand it, he thought you were rather charming, though he was quite impressed how you managed to get his security doors open.
And that was nothing to do with me.
Hmm.
Anyway, so what are you doing now?
Two things, really. Making sure you don't leave with anything you shouldn't, and if possible, waiting to be picked up, but I feel like that opportunity has passed. I don't really have a taste for violence myself, but after watching you slaughter four of our brothers in the back offices, Zamir has decided that you should have your stay here prolonged slightly. At least until the whole place blows up. I assume you have taken the artifact, given the fact that this asteroid seems to be spiraling in on itself at the moment.
Yeah.
Hmm. Ah, well.
So, can I ask you a question? I mean, I realise this is probably going to come to blows.
Yes, that is likely.
And I'll be honest, it's not really... I guess it's not really my intention, but it seems like we're careening towards that anyway. But before the others arrive, if you're going to die, if you know you're going to die, why are you okay with it? Why... What about this? What about this
spoken event? Like a typical human. Nothing to believe in.
I'm all for believing in stuff, but what is it? What is it that you believe in?
Right at this moment, it's probably your death.
That's not a reason for you to die, though, is it? What do you believe in that makes you willing to die?
The Fist of Gorval will return the universe to its rightful state, to its rightful balance, with us as leaders leading you into a universe where you can't.
I mean, but this is all propaganda, though. Like this is why this is your recruitment pitch. What I just don't. I don't really understand what your like there was a Valner in there who worked for Evesis, and his thing was science and exploration and learning and knowledge. And he was willing to die to learn a bit more. So, are you dying to gain power for others? That doesn't really make sense, does it?
For the glory of the Lorendi Empire, for the glory of Loren Jar. It's not like you would understand.
Oh, I guess fundamentalism does require a certain lack of critical thought.
She's
not an intelligence thing. Like, you are, by all means, way more intelligent than me, but I just kind of feel like you don't really understand. Like, you know the world that you, the universe that you live in, but you don't really understand it, do you?
I understand more than you know. I understand that the Lorendi are the true ancestors, heirs, and owners of this universe.
While she's saying this, can I just shoot her?
She did already have her hand on her sword, so, go ahead and roll a, because it's clear that this is going to go down. So she's particularly taken by surprise. Go ahead and roll a dexterity check. And I'll contest that.
Mine was an 18.
Okay, so you managed to reach for your pistol and shoot in her general direction. She manages to just dodge it, but you just about wing her. So roll damage.
Okay. Ooh, it's good. That's an 11.
11. So you managed to...
No, it's more than that. No, it's not. It's 11.
Okay, so you managed to put a round just into her side, and it just glances off her armour and bounces off. And it does connect, and she does wince at it slightly, but you can tell it's not it's not an extremely powerful hit. She steps back and spins around, and taking a small rod off her belt, she presses a button and a long blade extends from each end of the rod until she's holding a double-bladed, 6-foot-long spear in her hand. She closes her eyes and takes a deep breath. And as she exhales, and before she opens her eyes, she just says, "For Loren Jar." And she takes a step towards you. And I feel like the rest of the group, you are at the airlock now. I presume you've kind of pressed it to go down. Yeah? Is that what you
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I imagine that's lowering down now slowly. You'll be out quite soon.
Is there a window? Do we see like a flash or anything from a shot?
No, there's no window.
Okay.
It's fairly solid airlock door.
It's always weird that people put a window on airlocks in TV shows, because why would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
You're adding weakness to literally all that keeps you from space.
So, hello, nice view.
Can you all roll initiative for me?
That's better.
18 for me.
18?
Yep.
I'm going to change my dice here.
That's a 10 for me.
I got a 9.
22 for Jefferson.
22?
Yep.
Okay, so as Orvelus runs towards you, Jefferson, it is your turn. You get to go immediately straight away.
So how far away is she from me?
She is very close to you. She is about 5 feet away.
All right, well, I'm going to use my last tech slot and do quick step, which gives me plus 10 to my speed, I believe.
Okay.
Because it's my first turn, my speed is 50.
Okay.
So I'm going to move 50 feet away from the airlock and past her. I'm going to move 50 feet that way.
Okay, cool. Do you have anything that can avoid attacks of opportunity?
No, she's going to get an attack of opportunity. Cool.
So as you step past her, she sticks her spear out, the bottom end of her spear, out to the side and makes a swing at you. Which is a 24.
Just about hits.
And this slashes into you, doing 11 damage.
Oof.
And also, you hear quite a loud ripping sound.
Oh no! Was that 11 damage, did you say?
11 damage as the blade digs into your leg.
Damn. All right. That's horrible. Then I'm going to do my attacks.
Where are you moving to?
How big is this field that she's in?
About 45 feet across.
I'll move right to the edge of it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to fire at her. So because it's my first turn,
yep.
And because I went before her, I get advantage of my first attack.
Yep.
With my disruptor. So that's a 18 to hit.
Does it?
So that's just my disruptor. That's another 11.
Yep, that goes straight into her chest, and you see the green particles damaging and sort of almost like demolecularizing the top layer of her armor as she takes a quick step back.
Okay, and then I'm going to fire my disruptor again with my additional attack.
Yep, that's cool.
My tactical ambush feature. That is a 23.
Does hit.
Ooh, that's a 12.
12 damage, yeah.
Is that an extra 2 damage? So because it says the target takes additional weapons damage equal to your wisdom modifier.
Okay.
So instead of 12, that was actually 14. And then I'm going to take a last attack with my auto pistol with my offhand. And that is a miss. That is a natural 1.
A natural 1. Okay, so yeah, that just misses. I'm not going to punish you for anything at this stage because there's nothing that obvious that I'm going to have. There's part of me that makes me think you just shoot D4 as he walks through the airlock.
Why D4?
No,
why me?
Just because he's in the middle. Okay, so you just fire this volley of shots. Two of them with the disruptor connect very heavily into her chest, and she takes a couple of steps back. Then she looks at you angrily and charges.
This is going to go badly.
And connects into you with her shoulder. And make a strength save.
That is the best strength save I've ever done. That is a 20, not natural.
She connects into you with her shoulder, hits you with a force that pushes you back a few inches, but you brace yourself and you dig your feet into the dirt as she's trying to push you out of this force field, but you manage to push her back off you as she takes a couple of steps back. As she takes a couple of steps back, she swings the end of her sword spear down on you again. For a 17.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
And this connects into your arm for 13 damage.
13?
With that, the door of the airlock starts to open. And Damson, D4 and Pax, you see what can only really be described as the scene from The Phantom Menace where Obi-Wan can't quite get to Qui-Gon Jinn in time. So, yeah, so Damson, D4 and Pax, you see Jefferson essentially being marauded by this blue figure bringing this sword down onto his shoulder. Then, before you can react, however, it's back to Jefferson's turn.
God damn it. I'm going to shoot her again.
You're okay in close combat, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm fine in close combat.
Okay, cool.
Best choice I ever made. 22 to hit.
Definitely hits.
That is a 10 damage.
Okay, so you unleash a round into her stomach, and she lets out a loud grunt.
I really wish I'd had another spell slot, or tech slot, sorry, tech slot, not spell slot, for Hunter's Mark, but no, so I fire again, auto pistol. That is a 15.
That does not hit.
Did not expect it would.
Right about now, the asteroid starts to shake again, quite violently. And more rocks and rubble fall from the ceiling inside the airlock. Jefferson, you see some rocks crumbling down the side of the cliffs on either side of you. And it's clear that the asteroid has become extremely unstable.
Do I have time to radio call, Jeff?
Not quite yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because you're sort of in very hand-to-hand combat here.
Mistake! I regret everything!
At that moment, the asteroid lurches. It feels like the whole asteroid moves about 5 meters to the left. And can you all make an acrobatics or athletics for me?
That's a 7 for D4.
That's another 12 for me.
16.
Is it a save? No, it was a check, wasn't it? Athletics.
Yeah.
8.
D4 and Jefferson, you are taken quite unawares by this. You have to plant your feet quite firmly to stop yourselves from falling over. And as a result of this, you won't be able to move on this turn.
Do you mean on my next turn? Because I've just moved.
Yes, yeah, until the end of your next turn.
Okay.
You won't be able to move as you plant your feet and try and stop yourselves from falling. Damson and Pax, you're absolutely fine. And Orvelus also manages to steady herself quite happily. Then it's actually Damson's turn, who reacts quite quickly to seeing this brawl outside on the asteroid surface.
I draw my pistol and I say, "Get away from him, you bitch." And I'm going to shoot him.
I was trying to figure out if that was a Molly Weasley reference, but I don't think it was.
It was a Ripley reference, but...
Oh,
know,
God, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
But also Molly Weasley as well, weirdly enough.
Although, yeah, it's weird my mind went to Molly Weasley before Ripley.
Is it definitely a Harry Potter reference?
I don't think it's exactly the same quote, but it's very similar.
I'm only asking you because I don't really know Harry Potter.
As they get away from him, I'm pretty sure the Molly Weasley one is "not my daughter, you bitch."
Trick question, you love it too.
but is this Harry Potter? Can I?
It is Harry Potter, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm getting there. I'm watching the film.
Okay, Aaron.
No.
Just to clarify, my reference was for Aliens, but that was just more of a. So, because I've got an ally within 5 foot of a enemy, if I shoot her, do I get sneak attack?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so that is a 14. Does that hit?
It does not hit.
Ah, shit. I wasted my one-liner. And then I'm going to dash as a bonus action.
Okay.
I can do as with my cunning action. I'm going to dash sort of towards them.
Cool. Is that everything?
Yeah, that's me done.
Excellent. So you run up behind Orvelus. As you run up behind Orvelus, she looks over her shoulder after seeing the missed shot, and she pushes her one of the tips of her spears in your direction as you run towards her. And that is a 25.
Yeah, that hits.
To hit, yeah. And you run almost You run almost directly onto this spear tip.
Oh god, this hurts.
And that does 17 damage as it goes straight through your stomach.
Holy shit.
She then brings her other hand up and points it up at your face, and you just notice a small wrist-mounted cannon on her offhand. As you're currently trying to wrench this sword out of your stomach, she brings the wrist-mounted cannon, and then at the last second, she shoots it over your shoulder, directly into the ceiling above Pax. Pax, can you make a dexterity save for me?
16.
This charge she fires from her wrist crashes into the ceiling above you, and these rocks fall down from the ceiling. As they fall, some of them land on you, but you manage to jump out of the way, and you take 10 damage.
Jesus.
Where you were previously stood is a pile of these huge rocks that have fallen from the ceiling, and if you hadn't have jumped out of the way at just the last moment, probably would have pinned you to the floor and caused you a lot of damage.
Do I drop Paige, or do I still have...
You can still hold Paige if you want.
Okay.
Then it goes on to D4's turn.
Oof.
And you can't move.
No. How far away is Orvelus at the moment?
So you are here in the entrance. So you're 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. About 45 feet.
45, okay. So Jefferson's 50 feet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to use my field salve.
Uh-huh.
I would use it on everyone, but someone decided to be a goddamn robot. So I'm going to use it on Jefferson, Pax, and me.
Okay, yeah, roll that.
So that's D4 plus... So 6 HP for everyone there. And then I think that's all I can do this turn.
Okay, and then that goes to Pax's turn.
It's good job you got that field salve. That's all I'm saying. okay, I am going to... I'm going to drop Paige just in the doorway.
Okay.
And as I dash, I'm going to take out my Yurimi sword and one of my sabers. And I'm going to dash all the way to her. That's 60 feet?
Yeah, you can reach her with a easily. Dash.
I'm also going to action surge.
Okay.
And I am going to hit her with my left hand, which has got my saber.
Yeah, roll that.
That is a 21.
That definitely hits.
Okay. I'm going to use one of my surge effects on this as well. My force surge effect, which is 2d6 damage. As well, yep. And you've got to make a con saving throw up 50 feet and throw, which is you have to be at 12 basically.
Con save DC 12, which yep. She fails.
And I hit a 4, that's good. 19? I hit for 19 damage.
19, geez, wow.
Ooh.
So that is that with your saber?
That's my saber, yeah, my left hand.
Yeah, so that takes a huge slash across her chest, and the blood drips out of this wound, and then it falls, but very slowly due to the low gravity. It sort of falls and drifts off a few feet before finally hitting the floor.
Can I choose which way to knock?
What does it where say? Is it?
Could be pushed 15 feet and knocked prone.
Pushed.
So I think it's just from where I hit her. Yeah,
pushed would mean sort of directly backward.
Okay.
But, I mean, again, I moved you there. You only said you were... So you would be probably about here.
Yeah, I mean, pushing her out of the circle would be ideal.
So, yeah, you could probably push her there into that wall. At this point, you all receive a transmission over your radios, and it just comes into your earpieces saying, This is Kordchev. I see you outside of the entrance. I am flying nearby, and you look up, and the Luciola is coming round towards the entrance as it approaches the base, and then it's Jefferson's turn again.
So is the Luciola is just there? There's no doors open, right?
No, it's sort of swooping in now.
Okay, is it my bonus action to radio Kordchev?
You can use that, yeah.
All right. I'm going to radio him and say, Kordchev, open a door that we can jump into. Open a door that we can get to.
Okay, yeah, that goes through.
Is there, just out of curiosity, is it possible, given the low gravity that we're in, to jump into the ship?
I would say you'd probably have advantage on any high jumps that you do due to the low gravity.
Can I fire my disruptor at Orvelus? Oh, no, I guess that my action is to jump or to shoot. Fuck it, I'm going to shoot then.
Okay, go for it. She is prone, isn't she, Pax? So that will give you disadvantage on the attack.
Yeah, definitely prone.
Because Pax has pushed her over.
Yeah, that does give me disadvantage. I do not ignore that.
Yeah, I kind of was just waiting for you to tell me why you ignore that. Because with shooting, no, you tend I don't to ignore everything. That.
Prone is the one thing I don't ignore.
Good to know. Prepare to face a lot of crawling enemies.
And it doesn't do you much good. That's still a 21 to hit.
Even with disadvantage?
Yeah, I got a 13 and a 14. Wow. Plus 8.
Go for it. Yes, that does hit.
That is 9 damage.
Excellent. Yes, that does hit. That hits us sort of into the leg, and you see this fizzling as the disruptor rifle kind of eats away and dissolves the armor around her leg. At this point, the asteroid starts to shake again quite violently. And can everybody roll another acrobatics or athletics?
19.
Oh, natural 20.
9.
It's a 15, but I'm going to use maximum effort to make it 17 and double my proficiency on acrobatics or athletics check.
Okay, brilliant.
9.
Yeah, so again, you still can't quite get your footing. You spend your movement essentially trying to make sure that you keep yourself upright. Then it's Danson's turn.
Okay, so I'm going to use a bonus action to dash away from Orvelus.
Yeah, where are you going?
Just away from Orvelus in a straight line. Yeah, that would be.
Over near the entrance of the base? Oh.
Not that far, about halfway between the base and where I was. And then I'm going to shoot her.
Yep, go for it, roll that. You have disadvantage on it because she's still prone.
Oh, shit, I got a fucking 20.
Oh, damn.
No.
God damn it.
Oh, you got 20 with the Ravager as well.
Yeah, that's a miss then. Oh, wait, actually, I've got inspiration. Oh, no, I can't use it after the fact.
Yeah, it's before you roll. Oh, what a waste of a crit.
Son of a bitch.
Damn. Orvelus tries to take a breath as she's winded by Pax, and you can see there's absolutely no air for her to take as she's outside of this protective sphere, and you can see her start to suffocate slightly, and you can tell that does take its toll on her as she tries to reach for air, and she stands up and manages to stumble just inside of the sphere. As she's in, she swings her spear towards Jefferson, who stood next to her.
Oh, no.
And she swings for a 18.
That'll hit.
And Jefferson takes, only 6 damage.
Oh.
And then she lifts up the cannon on her arm and points it at Pax again and fires for a 17.
Just it.
And there's a little mechanism on her wrist, and it almost telepathically, she seems to tell it what to do, as this mechanism tweaks around and you see it load quite a large shell into the wrist-mounted cannon she's got there. And this slug fires out, and it almost moves. It almost moves perceptibly slowly. It's an unusual sight because it fires out of this wrist-mounted cannon, but you can see it hurtling towards you. Fast enough to hit you without you being able to move out the way, but also perceptibly. You see the bullet travelling through the space, and this hits you for 14 damage square in the chest.
Okay.
Can you also make a strength saving throw?
Can, which is annoyingly low. 13.
You feel this slug hit you in the chest and it blasts you back, and you fall prone and roll backwards as this high-powered shell knocks you clean off your feet and into the dust about 20 feet away, and you can feel this aching as this blunt bullet has fired you across the cavern floor. Then it goes to D4.
Can I move so I'm at the entrance to the airlock?
Yep.
So yeah, I'm going to move so I've got cover at the airlock and open fire with my auto pistol.
Excellent, shoot.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's a natural one.
Oh, no.
I've hit both extremes in these past two rolls.
The bullet sails over her right shoulder and into the cliffs next door. next to her.
Just terrible, terrible shooting. As a bonus action, I'm going to do my coordinated attack, see if my drone can, as it usually does, perform a lot better than I do.
Ha.
That's 22.
Yes, that definitely hurts.
So that's a d6 plus 4. So 7 damage.
So the drone flies out and lets out a small bolt of energy that seems to ping off Orvelus's armour, and, you know, she notices it, but it feels like more of an annoyance than anything else.
Not as sadistic as usual.
No. Jefferson, your turn.
So what's going on with the...
Have you missed my turn or not?
Oh, shit, sorry, I have missed your turn, Pax. I apologise.
Okay. So I get up, using half my movement, presumably. Yeah. How much is 15 feet in front of me?
So you wouldn't get to melee range.
I won't be in 10 feet either.
Oh, no, you would be in 10 feet. You'd be able to hit with the Arumi sword.
Okay, I'm going to go 10 feet within range of her, and I will try and whip her, but it's my right arm.
Was your right arm knackered, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, it's -3.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a natural 20 anyway, so
we're
all good, which is terrible. It's a 6 plus 3, 9 damage to her with the Arumi sword.
It's not the crit the people wanted.
I know. We wanted a 16.
Disappointing.
So you lash out with this whip, and the blade just slices across her cheek and puts a little gash in the side of her face.
Okay, I'm going to use my bonus action to do a second win, which heals me 9.
Okay, then it's Jefferson's turn.
Okay, so what's the Luchola doing?
As you send the message off, the Luchola flies in closely. The closest it can get, really, is probably... Because of the cliffs, it can't quite get down very close, so I would say it can make a bit of a pass close to the floor.
So... In terms of jumping distance, how far is that?
So, from where you are, these cliffs go up about 20 to 25 feet in different places. It can get quite close down to the floor. It can get about 10 feet down to from the floor here. But from where you are, you'd have to get up to here. Sort of, because it's got two entrances. It's the lock at the very back of the ship where Travers is, where you docked on with the Alacrity, and it's got the side entrance where you originally boarded when you were on the Callistus. And you see Korchev bring the ship in and hover it slightly above the uneven ground. You hear over the radio, I am here and in position.
Goddamn. So, in terms of a literal jump, how far would that be?
From where?
From where I'm stood.
Oh, geez, wow. About 100 feet.
So if I did my full 40 feet run, I'd have a 60-foot jump.
Well, there's a cliff in the way, because if you ran straight, you'd go into the cliff, so you'd need to run around here. You'd need to run around up this ramp here and then towards the ship.
So it's a bad idea. How does the grappling hook on the gun work?
Okay, so you can grapple anything within a range of 30 feet. The rope on it is 30 feet. Usually, it would require a little bit of climbing or a surface to climb on, but due to the low gravity, you could probably winch yourself up quite easily. All it would require is an attack roll against the surface, the surface's AC that you're looking to fire against.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to try and do. I exhale.
So you've learned from that.
I run out 10 feet from the sort of orb of breathable atmosphere we're in.
Yep.
I shoot at Orvelus with the grappling hook.
Oh, okay.
And then my aim is to shoot at her, reel her in, and then as she's being reeled back in, run back into the atmosphere.
Okay, interesting. So, make an attack against Orvelus.
Yeah, that's a 20.
Okay, so the winch sticks into her armour quite deep, and you try and... You press the button to recoil it and try and give the winch a pull. Do you want to make a strength check to try and pull her out? The winch is pulling and it's helping, but you would still need to give it a good tug to get her out.
Okay. That's a 15.
Ooh, she got a 14.
Oof.
So you managed to just pull her off balance and drag her slightly out of the orb again.
And I run back in.
Yeah, okay. Then the asteroid lurches again to the side as a large spout of rock, you can see about 100 feet away, flies into the air as the integrity of the asteroid really starts to fall apart. And can everyone make that acrobatics or athletics check?
God damn it. I'm really sorry. I've just realised I couldn't do any of that.
Because you couldn't move?
Couldn't move.
Retcon.
Retcon.
Start that turn again.
I fire my gun at her.
Excellent.
That's a 26 to hit.
That does hit.
That is 10 damage.
Okay, yep. So yeah, that again, that hits her quite solidly, and she does take a good beating there and a little step back.
Well, then I'll take my bonus action to fire at her again.
Okay.
That is a 16 to hit.
Just hits again.
That is 6 damage.
Okay, so yeah, again, she takes another good bit of a hit there and a bit of a step back as she winces in pain as that is kind of the first time you've seen her sort of acknowledge much pain against her here. And yeah, what was everyone's score on those checks?
Non-natural 20 for me.
Cool.
Same for me.
17.
11.
Jeffson, you're still struggling to figure out how to get your footing as this asteroid lurches back and forth around underneath you. Then it's Damson's turn.
Okay, I'm going to dash over to Jefferson.
Yep.
Ideally not passing Orvelus, if I can.
What, you're going to go round the back?
Yeah.
If you're dashing, you will have enough movement to do that.
Ah, okay. I'll dash as close as I can to to Jefferson then.
Yep.
And then I'm going to shoot Orvelus then in that case.
Yep, so you run to the side and dash behind Pax and fire a blast between Pax and Jefferson towards Orvelus.
And that definitely misses.
Okay, excellent.
As I miss, I mutter to myself, game over, man. Should have nuked her from orbit.
Okay, and then Orvelus, again looking angrier than ever, brings the bottom half of her spear up towards Jefferson for a 26 to hit.
Yep.
Bye,
y'all.
And Jefferson takes 16 damage.
Bye.
Is that Jefferson down?
Jefferson is down.
And takes it as the blade, she swings it up from the bottom and takes a huge chunk out of Jefferson's leg as he sort of falls down, not really being able to hold his balance at the best of times on this asteroid surface.
Can I respond to her, like, narratively?
Go on.
I just, as the spear lands in my leg, I just grab it, look up at her and say, what's it worth?
Interesting. Okay, she then lifts up her wrist-mounted cannon again and points it towards D4. And again, the blast seems to sail straight over D4's head and it crashes into the archway above. And can you make a dexterity save for me, D4?
No. Oh, that's a 12.
A 12. Oh, what's the DC on that? Oof. So these rocks fall down from above the entrance of the base, and they start to land and hit you, and you take 11 damage.
Oof.
And one of them lands, trapping your leg to the floor, as you are now restrained underneath this this rock and prone. So you are sort of lying there on the floor with this large boulder pinning your leg to the floor. Then it is back to it's your turn.
Whilst they're trapped in the rocks, what the effects?
You can try and use a strength to sort of push it off you.
That's definitely not my forte. But what choice do I have? This is not a good situation to be in. God damn. I might as well. I'm going to try and take the. Would that be an action to try and get the rocks off me?
Yes, it would be your action to push it off.
Cool. I'm going to do that.
Your strength check.
That's a natural 20.
Nice. So you,
oh, damn.
You push this rock off your leg and manage to roll it to one side in a feat of strength that surprises even you.
Absolutely, it does.
As this rock rolls to the side, and you see quite a nasty cut in your leg where this rock has crushed you.
Ouch. So as my bonus action, can I call up to the Luciola?
Yeah.
And just shout out, someone get on the guns and take this bitch out.
You hear Celix come back over the radio almost immediately. I'm already there. I've got the shot lined up, but if I miss, I could take any of you out. It's a bit of a tricky shot, and these things weren't designed for picking off individuals at close range.
Wait until you get the chance, Celix, and take him down.
On your mark, I'll wait for your signal.
Cool.
Then it is Pax's turn.
Okay, I'm going to move 5 feet forward.
Okay.
And I am going to attempt to use the whip.
Okay.
To begin with, for a -3, so good, 13, that's probably going to be a miss.
Yep, 13, she managed to sidestep that and dodge out of the way.
And I'm going to use the bonus action to try and save her. That's a miss as well. Terrible. That's me.
Okay, so she manages a couple of deft movements going left then right, and you manage to hit nothing but air, as her anger seems to have filled her with a tenacity to kill all of you in the name of the Lorendi Imperium. Then it goes to Jefferson's turn to make a death save.
No, that's a 3.
So that's a fail for Jefferson.
Shit.
The asteroid lurches again. Can you all make another acrobatics or athletics check, apart from Jefferson?
It's a 17 for D4.
Thanks for clarifying there.
Damson?
Non-natural 20 for me.
I got a 7. Terrible, I rolled 2 twice in a row.
Okay, can't move until the end of your next turn.
Not the end of the world.
Then it's Damson's turn.
Okay, I'm going to use my free hand to grab Jefferson's body and pull him back as far as I can while staying within the sphere.
Cool. Roll a strength check.
Ah, shit.
Athletics if you want.
Just as bad. Gonna use my inspiration to do this. So, advantage. Okay, good. That is 18.
Okay, brilliant. So, yeah, you managed to pull him a good chunk of the way back.
Cool. And then I'm going to pop off a shot at
the bad. She'll have half cover here behind Pax from where you are.
Okay. So what does that mean? It just
increases her AC slightly.
Okay, cool. Okay, so that is might actually hit this time. So that is a 17 to hit.
Just hits, yeah.
And do I get sneak attack? Because Pax is
right. Yeah, Pax is right there, so you do get sneak attack.
Sweet! Bitching. So that is 12. That's 14 points of damage.
Excellent. So that really does take her. She really, really does seem to feel that quite badly. Then it is Orvelus's turn, who swings at Pax quite aggressively with one of her spears. That's a 25.
Oh yeah, that just about gets me.
And does 16 damage.
Okay.
She swings at Pax again with the other end of her spear for an 11.
That misses.
Which misses, yeah. So just as she sticks one end of the spear and she swings the other one round, and you manage to miss it by flinching in pain at the first one as it sails over your head. At this stage, the Luciola starts to move from where it was, and D4, you hear on your comms unit Celix's voice saying, "Korchev's moving us into a better spot for an open shot," as you see the Luciola fly back over the canyon.
As soon as she's in the open, Celix, take it.
And I say, "No, do I hear this as well? Is it an open comm?"
Yeah, you'll hear this over, yeah.
Say, "No, Korchev, this is my kill."
Okay, so the Luciola's moved into position, essentially overhead of Damson and the body of Jefferson, and it's got quite a good lined up shot here, but it would be impossible for it to take it with Pax there without essentially turning Pax into a crater on the floor. Then it's D4's turn.
How far away is Jefferson from me at the moment?
About 30 feet.
Excellent. I'm going to run over to Jefferson and stabilise with my prime talent.
Yeah, excellent. That's definitely doable. So, what's the talent called again?
It's literally called stabilise. I don't think it brings it up to any hit points. It just
stops
reset.
From dying.
Yeah, the creature becomes stable.
Yeah,
that's the only effect on it.
So yeah, so you go over and spray a small bit of salve and a couple of nanites sort of spray out of the computer terminal on your wrist and start fixing up the wound ever so slightly. Jefferson stirs. He's still alive for sure, but he doesn't seem to be any closer to joining the battle. Anything else?
And as a bonus, can I just shout, "Pax, get out the way"?
Yep, you can definitely shout that. And then it is Pax's turn.
I don't listen. Two attacks. First with a whip, which is a 14 plus 2, 16.
16 just hits.
Nice. Again, 9 points of damage.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go with the offhand attack as well. The sabre, which is a natural one. Fuck!
Just as you swing, she blocks the sabre and knocks it clear out of your hand, bouncing along the floor. Okay, so then that goes to Jefferson, who can't do anything. Then can everyone make their athletic acrobatics again?
It's 17 for me.
That's an 8 for me.
I rolled a natural one again.
These dice need retired.
Okay, so D4, you try and plant your feet to stop yourself from falling over, and you just about manage it, and you stay rooted to the spot. Pax, you actually stumble entirely. The sword flies out of your hand, and as you try and grab it, the asteroid lurches upwards and takes you off guard, and you fall flat on your face.
Okay.
Then it's Damson's turn.
Okay, I sort of mutter to myself, but loudly enough for D4 to hear, "Useless meat sacks." And then I draw from Jefferson's body. I'm going to grab the gun that's got the grappling hook.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to shoot it at Pax.
Okay. I like
so,
it.
Yeah, I'll shoot the grappling hook at Pax.
Yep, make it, make an attack it's going to be with disadvantage because he's prone.
Okay.
You can use your inspiration if you want it.
Okay, so that is, that worked out to be 15.
So, Pax, what armor are you wearing?
Now I've dropped my saber. It is 16.
Oh, God fucking damn.
No, but what's it made of? Because you're attacking the material here.
Oh, it's heavy trooper armor.
Heavy trooper. So, yeah, it probably would be quite a solid metal. Okay, so yeah, so it kind of clangs off the armour and bounces sort of harmlessly off. Anything else?
Although it is, I'm still got the Eva suit on the outside. I don't know if that makes a difference.
No, it's sort of going over your armour.
Okay.
Wait, if the Eva suit is going over the armour, wouldn't it be the material of the Eva suit that I'm going for then?
Well, yeah, I guess it would, I suppose.
So... And the Eva armor ripped pretty easily when that spear went through it, so I'm guessing it would probably be less to hit.
Yeah, okay. I will allow that. Actually, yeah, I will take that. I'll take that, absolutely. So you fire the grappling gun and it digs into the EVA suit, and the hook expands, making a good grip on Pax's leg, and you press the winch button and drag sort of a prone Pax back, bumping across the floor. Pax, you take 3 damage as you get dragged face down across the sharp rocks on the floor.
Okay.
And anything else with your turn?
I just say to the bad lady whose name I can't pronounce, say, hey, remember when I said I'd kill you last? I lied. And then I sort of turn to D4 and say, you should probably tell them to fire now.
Can I take a reaction to tell Celix to take the shot?
You see what's happened, and as Pax is dragged out the way, you quickly reach for your wrist computer. Just as you do so, there's a bright flash of blue light, and you look up to see what's happened, and before you've even given the order, the cannons on the Luciola glow bright blue, and there is a beam of energy that fires straight forward, directly hits Orvella straight in the chest. And there is this infinitesimal moment where it almost seems like nothing has happened. And then, in a fraction of a second, Orvellus is replaced with a cloud of red rain and gas and viscera and gore that explodes across about 20 feet of the surface of the asteroid. And where Orvellus was, there is now nothing more than a small crater and an extremely, extremely large splatter of blood.
Nice shot, Celix.
All right, everyone. Get to the chopper.
Korchev rolls the Luciola round, and the ship flies round and manages to lower down, bringing the deck door just into the top of the sphere. As the door opens, you see Prim throw down a rope from the door that dangles down and just about touches the asteroid surface. And you just above the din of the engines, which are extremely loud through the reverberating against the sphere, keeping everyone alive and keeping the atmosphere in, you just hear Prim shouting down, "Grab on!"
Dax is going to try and run and get the corpse of Ven and Paige.
You can run in, just about grab Ven in from, which is good because you actually dropped him purposely inside the dome, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So you managed to pick him up and sling him over your shoulder.
Can I tie Jefferson on to the end of the rope?
Yeah, you could probably fashion a quick quick sort of, I don't know what you would call it, like a little seat?
Winch.
Winch thing?
It's like Orlando Bloom in Black Hole Down.
Yeah, 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 that shit.
Can I use Jefferson's body as a sort of a platform for me to stand on whilst I'm holding rope?
I actively encourage it.
I do that.
So you all managed to get yourself winched onto the deck of the Luciola as Prim is leaning out, lifting you up onto the deck. Pax, you're the last aboard, just sort of holding Venin over your shoulder, and you sort of flop him lifelessly down into the hallway where the airlock opens into. And with that, Korchev brings the ship around and flies away from the asteroid quite quickly. And just as you're leaving, you don't see it, but just as you're leaving, you hear quite a large explosion as through the back viewport, out of the window as you speed away, Korchev just sees the asteroid explode into thousands of pieces as you fly away into space. And that is you done with that asteroid.
That was a close one, guys.
Awesome.
Holy shit, dudes.
I'm annoyed we didn't get the kill on that. Or Valis.
As captain of the ship, and the ship got the kill, doesn't that mean you got the kill?
Don't you even dare, says Celix.
D4? Are you saying that I'm the captain of the ship?
No, Celix is.
thank you.
I take this moment to I walk over to Celix, I extend my hand, and I introduce myself as greetings, I'm Captain Dr. Damson Yanasty. You are?
Corporal Claire Seelix, retired. Pleasure to meet you.
Ah, excellent shooting, Corporal Seelix.
Thank you very much. It's nice to meet another professional.
I point to the body of the vending page and I say, Seelix, put this on it. And I walk towards the cockpit.
she just looks and says, is that Paige?
It's a long story.
Telling me. And she sort of starts dragging Paige down the corridor unceremoniously, leaving a small trail of blood behind him.
I'd just say over the comms, good flying there, Kolchev, and thanks for the assist, Prim.
Well, thank you very much. He's now Borat, apparently.
And I take Jefferson to. Do we have anything resembling a sick bay?
Yeah, or just you've got, bedroom, you've I guess, got a basic but... med bay. Yeah, you know, the kind of med bay that could potentially be used to save Jefferson or, you know, an elderly Valner. But who knows?
Can I just say, it is really awkward that you thanked Prim for saving you when Seelix took the shot. Just going to drop that.
I thought I walked over to Seelix, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
I made Seelix the captain for it.
Mm.
I was thanking Prim for the ladder. And Kolchev for his flying.
I feel everyone was acknowledged.
Quiet you, you're unconscious.
it's possible that my accent for Seelix drifted a bit closer to Prim's on that one, but maybe that was where the confusion came from.
I always thought Seelix was a bloke.
No?
Damn it, he's a clone! She's a clone! Kill him!
We're all clones! Crash the ship!
No. Seelix is an ex-soldier. She's Claire Seelix.
Oh, Claire Seelix.
I don't think we got a first name until now.
It has been used.
Because we probably didn't ask.
Yeah, no one asked.
Is anyone in my cockpit? Is anyone in my seat?
Yeah,
the one with the fancy flying that saved us.
Yeah, Kolchev is in the cockpit and piloting you away from the asteroid through space.
Okay.
I don't suppose there's a room for me on this ship, is there? Do you have a spare berth at all? I need to make some repairs.
Who are you asking?
Anyone, everyone.
Maybe you should ask the captain.
Yeah, see you next. I'm looking for a berth, somewhere where I can repair my things. Do you have anywhere?
Absolutely, I'm sure we can find you something. Follow me.
Yeah, thank you.
You seem to be quite capable. I'm sure you'll... are you planning on sticking around?
Yeah, it depends. I sort of lean in close to Seelix at this and say, Jefferson's not really in charge of this whole operation, is he?
Oh, God, no. We just let him think that.
Oh, thank goodness. That D4 really struck me as kind of the leader type. But then, of course, I haven't met any of you, so I'm not sure what to think.
Out of the bunch of them, D4's one of the more reasonable. I mean... If you ask me, Kolchev's in charge. He's the highest ranking officer aboard the ship, therefore Kolchev's in charge.
That's always worth knowing the chain of command. Thank you, Seelix. In regards to everyone's status at the moment, I'm engaged in I sort of look over my shoulders. Let's call it a tax dispute. As a result, I'm not really inclined to engage with certain authorities. I'm led to believe the crew is somewhat outside of the law.
We've had a few run-ins. We were for a brief period of time, probably one of the most wanted terrorist groups in the galaxy, but that was all a misunderstanding. I'm sure as soon as we get back to the Infinity Core and we can clear all that up.
Ah, yes, back to the Infinity Core. Anyway, about this room.
Yep, follow me. There should be one of these down here on the left should be absolutely fine.
Fantastic.
And she shows you to a fairly standard berth. You know, it's perfectly reasonable from what you would expect on a ship like this. Looking around and seeing the state of the ship, I think you knew what to expect. Nothing fancy, but yeah, absolutely fine. Yeah, by this stage, I think everyone sort of makes their way to wherever they want to be on the ship. Jefferson, you're probably... just about back on your feet, and yeah, you're currently flying on the ship through the expanse, kind of drifting away, really.
Can I quickly talk to Kolchev?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, you find Korchev in the cockpit as usual, just keeping the ship going.
Hey, Korchev. That was a...
Hey. This is about the chair, look. I'll take it as a standing order that yes, I'm in your chair, but...
No. It's nothing about the chair.
What can I do for you?
You were in the chair tonight. It was a good maneuver.
Thank you. I'm feeling a butt coming on.
I just bought the corpse of Venon Page on board.
What? You killed Page? He was in there? Why did you bring his body?
Different Page.
Okay, I'm afraid I'm not quite following.
Can I insight check it?
Yeah.
No, bollocks. Worth a try. It's a 4.
I mean, he just seems genuinely befuddled by you at the moment.
Okay. Hey, Korchev. Yes. Where do you take that seat for days?
I will. Thank you. And he lets out a little smile.
A smile back at him. And then I flick a big old one finger in his face.
Strangely, he seems to that seems to make him smile more, and he just sort of turns away and carries on piloting.
All right, Pex is going to go and rest.
Yes, you look a bit beat up. Go sit yourself down.
Don't smack talk me.
Bye.
Bye. I flick him 2.
He flicks you the V's back. Bye. Bedtime for Pax. Go on nap time.
Oh no! Oh man, I'm gonna stop pranking.
He presses the button and the cockpit door shuts behind him.
I piss in his bed before.
Okay, so that's where you are. You are on the Luciola flying through space. Everyone's back. Everyone's roughly healed. I'd say everyone's had a full rest. I would say that everyone probably gets a level up at the end of this session. So feel free to take that.
Excellent.
The main thing that would be useful is figuring out what your plan is.
If we're having a conversation about it, find the Shattered Tower and go there.
You're so pissed off that I killed that bound.
I mean, it's fair. It wasn't proportional.
It was cold-blooded murder.
But at the same time, his intestines were out.
I mean, he was having a bad time.
On a personal note, it's so nice for me to be the one judging other people for murder for a change.
I gave that Valmer a miss.
How the turntables.
Jefferson's responding to everyone. It's basically not. Jefferson's just saying his inclination is to go to the Shattered Tower. He doesn't talk to anyone else. He just says, I want to go to the Shattered Tower. That's it. Any other attempt at conversation with him is met by a thing.
He's going for a dark time.
Yep.
A day or so later, you are all, maybe not Jefferson, if Jefferson's locked himself away, brooding in his room perhaps.
I've also locked myself away to do something, but I want to discuss it with you kind of later. I'm doing something a bit dodgy.
Pax and D4, you find yourself in the mess with Celix, Korchev and Prim, and you all sat around having a couple of drinks, sort of planning on where to go next. This is after you after a couple of drinks, you fill Korchev, Celix and Prim in on the situation, what happened on the R&D base, and what's been going ahead. Korchev takes a sip of his drink and sort of looks around and says, the way I see it, we have three options, and essentially I know which one I think is best. I think we should go to the Infinity Core. You know, me, Celix, we are good with the Infinity Core. They have the best military scanning technology in the galaxy. Bar possibly the Lorendi themselves, they will be able to find the Shattered Tower. And presented with the evidence, they will almost certainly assist with an assault on the ship. I think we can make a good case and, take some reinforcements and, destroy the tower flat out before it even has chance. And Prim sort of jumps in and says, well, I've been looking over the data on that ship that you pulled from the sim, and that thing is built. I mean, even with half an armada behind us, they're one fancy charging straight in. And their scanning systems, they're top of the range, Stieg and Zer. I mean, who's to say that they wouldn't see us a mile away before we even got anywhere near them? I mean, we need to find a weakness. We need to find what makes this ship tick. So maybe if we found someone who knows something about it, maybe this Naru, Brzechi Naru character, maybe they could tell us some about it. And Seelix sort of chimes in as well. I see the merit in what Korchev is saying. I think with the Infinity Corps' help, we could take a good run at the tower. And so I think attacking it head-on alone would be suicide. And they're most likely going to be expecting us now. So I think we could probably do with some backup if we're going down that route. But, I mean, I'm retired. I'm not in the Infinity Corps anymore. My obligation is done. And someone like Vidrilia? Vidrilia Self would pay half of her company to get her hands on something like this. If we sold this story to her, we could buy a new ship. A ship maybe good enough to get ourselves in at the Tattered Spire. Maybe even fit out the Luciola with some fancy stealth tech. We could have our swords to Ermos's throats before he even got his pants on. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but... And they sort of go a bit quiet and look to you two.
I have an idea.
Yep.
And it combines all three of your plans.
I'm all ears.
So we go to Vidrilia Sar. We sell the story. We get the ammo, the munitions for ourselves, and we also go to the Infinity. They will provide a fantastic diversion for us to fly in beforehand and infiltrate the Shattered Tower. So while the battle is going on, we can be inside. We can document everything and get to the top. I think we need an army to destroy this place.
Well, I can agree with that. Like I said, the blueprints to this thing are unbelievable. I mean, who could even afford to finance a ship like this is beyond me.
Exactly. So we can take Bedrillia's finance, we can use the Corps' army, and we can go in beforehand stealthily and have them on command to make the diversion.
There's some nods around the table.
I think you're right. We need every advantage we can get. But what was this about the designer of the ship as well? I mean, if there's any sort of weakness to it.
Yes.
That'll be useful. For
I didn't miss out her plan, but yeah, we could go and talk to them as well.
From what you know, what you've learned, and you've heard quite a few references to someone by the name of Rizechi Naru, who you know to be the designer, the architect of the Shattered Tower. All you really know about Naru is that they are in prison. You could possibly do a little bit of digging around, maybe, to try and find out what prison they're in. You would take a guess that most of the high-level criminals around end up at a place on Baltrine called the Grim Spire, which is the most well-known high-security prison around.
We've heard of that before as well, I think.
Yes, you have, yeah.
Do we think it's thermal exhaust ports weak? The Shattered Tower, is that?
Maybe a direct hit could set off a chain reaction and bring the whole thing down from the inside. But the ports are only about 2 meters across.
No way you could get a target that big.
I could make that shot. Fuck you, coach. Don't pipe up.
I used the Bullseye Womp Rats in my T-16 back home.
So the plan is we go to the prison, bust out the blueprint guy, then go to the Infinity Corps, get an army, and then we go on the Spire. Oh, and then, well, before that, Vidrilia Self, we need the money.
I mean, do we know who runs the prison?
I know I'm sort of in seclusion at this point, but I gather that I would pick up on this plan at some point whilst it's being talked about and say, why not go to the Infinity Corps first and get them to give us access to the guy in the prison?
I mean, if they have any control of the prison, that would be the first.
It's massively sidestepping the breaking into the prison. I feel like that's necessary.
You guys also take it to 60 automatically, don't you?
Yeah, but prison break season 6 needs to happen.
But also, we've got the ticking time bomb of when they're going to install the upgrade on the ship. Planning a heist at our speed will involve more than a week.
Yeah, I feel like talking to people is a better idea.
I also feel as though Vidrilia herself is not a clone for some reason. I don't think she would besmirch Venom Page's and Revis's name.
Well,
that's a gamble.
So this is the thing. If she was a clone, she would know that Venom Page was a clone and a bit of a distraction and be quite willing to...
I get that. But at the same time, he's still alive. Nobody knows that Venom Page is dead. So why throw your... I mean, it's a fall guy. I get it. So they'll be chasing Venom Page. The authorities will be chasing...
I don't know.
Be distracted, like, from the tower, I suppose.
If we tell her, then either she tells everyone or she tells no one. Either way, we get a response. But she kind of has to buy the story.
Well, we've got a video to prove it and the body.
Well, that's the thing.
Presumably... Like,
if she refuses to buy the story, then we know that she is on their side. If she does buy the story and doesn't broadcast it, we know she's on their side. If she buys the story and broadcasts it, then we know that she's fine.
Maybe. Not necessarily.
But 2 hours, then we get paid.
Well, let's head towards the core, then. We'll enlist their help. First and foremost, if we can. We've got the proof, we've got the video, the corpse. If we go to the top, then hopefully they'll keep it stumped, and then we can maybe sort out the prison situation with the prince, and then we can stealth in while the attack somehow destroyed from the inside. Any objection?
You seem to get nods from the rest of the crew in terms of Korchev, Seelix, and Prim.
And Korchev, you'll come with me when we talk to the Corps, yeah?
Yes, I am still registered officer of the Corps. I mean, I may have to explain the, 3 week absence and, you know, the destruction of the Callistus somewhat, but...
Still. Here's the thing, though. How do we know we are who we say we
are? You're the only one who'd say anything that stupid, Pat.
There's cloning involved here, so how do I know you, and you are who they say they are? Well, I know the Damson, because you can't fucking clone a robot. Well, I hope you can.
Actually,
I don't know.
Mechanically speaking, it'd be easier to replicate a robot than a human.
He's got a point.
Well, I've only just met you.
I mean, yeah, why they clone someone we've never met before to gain our trust seems a little bit OTT.
So how do we prove it, then?
Well, in our defense, how do we know you are who you say you are? You know, this goes both ways, but...
I don't know. I will take the test.
I don't have a fucking Voight.com flying around, you know?
I think what we do is a test of blood.
Clones have blood. Clones are clones. Genetic clones. DNA clones packs.
I'm fairly sure I don't have blood.
I don't care.
Probably.
I draw a saber across my hand and I say, it's a blood pact. We used to do this all the time back in the academy. We all cut our hands and we share blood.
Biologicals are disgusting.
Yes. Yep. I want you all to do a blood pact with me.
I'm beginning to agree, Devob.
Genuinely, I don't have blood. It's just dust.
Yeah, well, I trust you.
It's literally just space gas.
I trust you both. I'm scared of you, Damson, and I trust you for. Blood pact with me, Korchev. See you.
No. Prim. I'm not cutting my fucking hand.
I turn to the rest of the crew. No one has to make a blood pact with Pax. That is...
Who the hell made you, Captain?
Pax, don't make me come over there.
Blood pact with me. Why would you not? It'll be a small cut. It will heal within days.
Because it's unhygienic.
I don't trust anything. Blood pact.
They both saved us by shooting cannons at the person who was trying to kill us.
What a perfect way to gain our trust.
But why?
To betray us later on when it matters.
But
they wanted us dead. They could have just killed us or let us die.
Right.
We very much would have died then. Or they could have just shot us with the cannon.
So wait, we're all together. What you're saying is that you will not protect any of you.
It would have been very easy to shoot you with the cannon, like D4 says, or even just leave. We could have left you on the asteroid to let it blow up.
Yep.
Fine, but you won't take a little nick.
No, no, I will take a little nick, but I won't rub my little nick on your little nick. My little nick will remain unrubbed by you.
Interesting, Korchev. I was just getting to know you.
And you want to skip past all of the conversation and the frivolities and the good times and skip straight to mixing bodily fluids.
You didn't even buy him a drink pack.
Ugh.
It's what we did back in the academy.
It's very Promethean.
Yes. What is this academy you keep talking about?
I was raised a soldier.
Korchev gets up and leaves the room.
Celix, Prim, what do you say?
I leave too.
Yeah, they all just stand up and walk out.
I go on the comms to Jefferson. I know you don't like me right now. Don't trust anyone on this ship.
Fuck off.
That seems like a good place as anywhere to leave it.